Well, first of all, I want to thank all of you for being here this morning. We do have some visitors, and we're so thankful that they come our way this morning and hope you'll come back each and every chance that you have. Before we do start, though, I have a note from Haley. She asked me to read to the congregation. It's a thank you note, and it says, "Thanks to everyone for the prayers, phone calls, visits, and gifts. Sharon, thanks for all the transportation. It sure did help. Again, thanks to everyone. God bless, Haley." So we are so glad to have Haley back. She's gone through a knee operation. She's gone through several things lately, and she's back with us in good health, she says, and ready to go again, she said. And we're so thankful for that. Just want to point out this evening at 5 o'clock, our lesson will be obedience. And that's one I think you, if you possibly can get here, you need to hear it. Obedience. As I say so many times in Bible class, obedience is the theme of the Bible from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation. Obedience. So try to make it back if you can. So this morning, though, I want to talk to you, why do people give up? Well, brethren and friends, we all know that heaven is a place of rest. This life is no time for a rest. We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's what Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4 when he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." I know if we're faithful in our service to the Lord, we're going to get tired occasionally, but we can't quit. We cannot quit. The question before us this morning is, when we feel like giving up and giving in, why it matters? Or why do people give up? Let's search the Scriptures, if we may, to find the answer for this very important question. So please open your Bibles and follow along with me. I'd like you to, if you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, in today's times, many good efforts have been started and then abandoned. Churches have initiated efforts to save the lost, but they stopped. People have given up on themselves. Students have given up on their education. Husbands and wives have given up on their marriages. Children of God have given up doing the will of God. Children of God have given up on the faith. So why do people give up? Elijah was tempted to give up. You may remember in 1 Kings 19. Paul too, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Let's read this together. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Now, between writing the first epistle and this one, Paul had undergone a terrible onslaught made on him in Ephesus by the devotees of the goddess of Diana, which was led by Demetrius the silversmith. Paul saw no way of escape there, so in his own mind he was doomed to death. The danger was so great that he despaired of life. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6 with me, please. Galatians chapter 6. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." What does it mean to be weary in well-doing? When tested by temptation and when buffeted by the storms of life, we may at times feel like giving up and just giving in. We may wonder, why does it matter whether I give up? Why does it matter that I try to keep on live a Christian life? What does it matter? Well, the question may come to us when we're facing some specific temptations or decisions about lying, maybe, or cursing or profanity. Maybe about stealing or gambling or dancing, immodest dress. Or it could be pornography or fornication, adultery, drugs or drinking, any of these things. It may be a decision about spiritual priorities involving school activities, demands on the job, sports and hobbies, or entertainment programs. Perhaps we have become discouraged under the weight of the consequence of our past sins or poor judgments that we made. Or matters beyond our control, such as accidents and diseases, growing older, or the death of loved ones. Just the grinding pressure of the daily duties of life may press upon us, such as shift work, the never-ending cycle of household duties, or trying to juggle the various demands of family life. Gospel preachers and elders and other saints grow weary at times under the strain of so many battles which must be fought in order to uphold the truth and to counter the subtle attacks and counterattacks of Satan. We may be tempted to retire from the battle, or at least to relent in our efforts in hope of relief from the strain. Satan is always testing and probing, trying to wear us down and wear us out. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. God warns us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We are vulnerable to Satan, brethren. We are vulnerable to Satan's attack when we get tired and weary. When we begin to wonder, is it just worth the fight? Is it worth the fight? Does anyone notice or does anyone care when I try hard to serve God, to try hard to live right, and I try hard to help others? Does anybody notice or does anybody care? Is anyone listening when I speak up and speak out for the truth and righteousness? Do I really want to press on? Does it matter whether I give up and give in? We all need to be reminded at times why it matters that we do not give up, why it matters that we keep on keeping on. First of all, it matters because of God's love. It matters because God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for our sins so that we can have that hope of eternal life in heaven with Him. Please turn with me to John, 1 John chapter 4, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, let's read verses 9 through 11. Here the Bible says, "And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." We are unworthy of God's love because we have sinned and rebelled against Him. God's love did not fail us when we were helpless and hopeless and doomed to hell by our own choice and our own sins. Turn with me to Romans, the 5th chapter now, please. Romans chapter 5, if you would. And we'll read one of my favorite passages. And I want you to think about these words when we read them. Romans 5, Paul wrote to the Romans beginning in verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and me, brethren. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners," again, that's you and me, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever really thought about those words? Think about those words and then go to God in prayer and then thank Him. We must not betray the love of God by turning back to our sins. It matters, again, that we do not give up because of Christ's sacrifice. It matters because Jesus was willing to give up the beauties and the glories and the grandeurs of heaven to come to this earth as a man so that He could suffer and die for our sins. We don't know what heaven is exactly like. We have an idea from Revelation. But have you ever really thought what Jesus gave up in heaven to come to this old world, this old mean earth? He loves us and He wants to save us so much that He was willing to die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 5 through 8. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Brethren, do we really appreciate what our Lord did for us? Do we really? And I know as humans, we sometimes forget and in a very selfish way do not appreciate what Jesus did for us. I ask you and myself, would we do that for Him? Knowing that Christ endured hardship and made difficult sacrifices for our salvation, we can learn to suffer trials and tribulations to be faithful to Him. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Self-denial rather than self-indulgence is necessary for our salvation. The temptation to give up and to give in is the encroachment of self-pity and self-indulgence. Such impulses destroy rather than build godly character. Another reason that it matters that we do not give up is because of our commitment to the Lord. It matters that we have made a commitment to love and obey the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. We do not want to do things which destroys that commitment, but we want to do things that renew and strengthens it. Let's go back to Romans, this time chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Paul wrote, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In becoming Christians, you remember that? You remember when you became a Christian? In becoming Christians, we committed ourselves to walk a new life and not to return to the old ways of sin and disobedience and rebellion against God. You might want to ask yourself, am I doing that now? Have I given up on the old ways? You remember making that commitment when you rose from that watery grave of baptism? Have you kept that commitment to the Lord? If not, this morning is a good time to recommit yourself to God. Staying in Romans, let's turn to chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's no higher commitment, brethren. There's no higher commitment that we make in life than to serve the Lord. To break this holy and sacred vow is to violate and nullify every trace of honor and honesty and integrity in our soul. Still another reason it matters that we don't give up is because of heaven and hell. It matters because we want to spend eternity in heaven with God, where there is no more guilt, there's no more sin, there's no more sorrow, there's no more sickness, there's no more darkness, no more depression and death. It matters because we don't want to spend eternity in hell with Satan, where there is constant torment and constant guilt and disappointment and darkness. It is pitch black. You can't even see your hand before your face. Depression, anguish, regret, pain, and punishment. And also, there's no hope of ever leaving there. On the judgment day, we want to hear our Lord say, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We do not want to hear Him say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And we certainly don't want to hear, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. We don't want to hear that. In spite of every trial or test, we must press on in serving the Lord in view of the judgment day. And brethren, it matters that we don't give up because we take others with us. It matters because if we are saved, we will take others with us to heaven. But if we're lost, we'll take others with us to hell. Have you ever thought of that? When we serve God, our light shines in this dark world in such a way as to encourage other Christians to keep on serving God and to help those who are lost find their way to God. That's what happens when we serve the Lord. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians chapter 2. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 14. He said, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Listen now. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding for the word of life. Brethren, when we live in sin, we become stumbling block or offenses to others, thus causing them to be lost, and thus bringing upon ourselves the great wrath of God. Let's read together what our Lord said about this in Matthew the 18th chapter. Matthew the 18th chapter, if you would. Jesus said, beginning in verse 6, But who shall offend, or be a stumbling block, but who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Just as someone was concerned for our soul and taught us the truth, others depend on the light of our teaching, our example, and our influence so that they can be saved. Often we don't even realize whom we may be helping when we do what is right and live for the Lord. Think about this. There are some people in the world who know no other true Christians but each one of us. Do you ever think about that? There's people in this world that don't know any other Christian except us. Only God can measure the impact for good that we've already had and the impact we can have in the future if we continue to serve the Lord. Yes, brethren, each individual light matters very, very much. And it matters that we don't give up because of the love Christians share. It does matter because of the love that we share for each other as Christians. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be going to several passages here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now turn over to chapter 2 and verse 17. Peter says, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Now to go to chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful or compassionate, be courteous. Lastly, let's look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Peter says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Your Bibles may say love instead of charity. There's a special love shared by all those who love the Lord because we share a common faith. We share common trials and temptations, and we share the common goal of helping each other reach heaven. Isn't that what it's all about, brethren? Isn't that what it's all about? That's what we do when we worship together. We share that love by reaching out to each other and seek to give advice and counsel and encouragement and strength in times of trials. This special love is shared by taking time to listen to each other, to discuss temptations that we face, to read God's Word together, to weep together over failures and tragedies, to rejoice together over successes and victories, and to pray for each other. That's what the love of a Christian does for each other. If we give up and give in, we abandon and we isolate ourselves from all of those who truly love us and who need our love, that is a high price to pay for the folly of sin. And finally, brethren, it matters we don't give up because of our fellowship with God. It matters because we find strength and encouragement, meaning, satisfaction, comfort, peace, and purpose in life only in God. Our fellowship with God is the whole meaning and purpose of life. It matters because we must keep our focus on God. And when we lose our focus, brethren, on God and our fellowship with God, we sink into a sea of discouragement, deception, sin, disobedience, rebellion, and evil. Remember what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13? He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 1 again. 1 John chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 7. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Yes, brethren. Yes, it matters. It matters very much what decisions we make and what steps we take in life. If we have been drifting away from God, it matters very much that we confess our sins to God and ask our brethren to pray for us and seek God's forgiveness. And our brethren will rejoice with us. The angels will rejoice with us. God will rejoice with us. If we've been drifting away from our focus on God and our fellowship with God, now is the time to change that. This morning, right now. We must not let Satan deceive and destroy us. God can save us and help us to go forward in His service. Each battle that we face and win with God's help makes us stronger. The fact that God has a plan to help us demonstrates that He believes in our capacity to grow stronger with Christ with His help. One last passage. Turn to Philippians chapter 13, chapter 3, if you would. Philippians 3. Let us say with Paul in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has not yet reached his goal when he wrote this, but he says, forget the past. Forget the past. Look to the future. And he also said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Yes, brethren, it matters in every way what we do. We must not give up and surrender our souls to Satan. Please don't do that. We must press forward in serving God every day, every step of the way, until we receive that crown of everlasting life. So never, never give up. Never, never, never give in. Now, many good things have come from God to the alien sinner. Do not mistake any of these as signs of your salvation, though. There's only one thing that will save you. That is your faith in and obedience to the gospel. Until you obey the gospel, all the rain, the sunshine, the fruitful seasons, the gladdened hearts will not save you. You are still lost. It is time to let go of these false hopes and obey the gospel where there is real hope. Confess your faith to Christ. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. You will no longer be lost, and you will still have all of those blessings plus many, many more. Take your stand with Christ today, not just with His blessings. Maybe you're an erring Christian. Maybe you need to make changes in your life. You remember when Peter was speaking to Simon, a saved man, in Acts 8 and verse 13? Well, after Simon was saved, he sinned against God by offering money to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter told him what to do. He said, repent and pray. Acts 8:22. Repent and pray. That is God's law to the erring child of God. So let's be thankful for His salvation and for His forgiveness. If we can help anyone in any way this morning to make their life right with God, I beg you, please do it now before you leave this building. Please don't take a chance that you're going to live through the day. You don't know that. Please don't take that chance. Take care of it. It doesn't hurt. Jesus has already done the hard part. He hung on that cross with nails in His hands and His feet. He's done the hard part. We can help anyone in any way make their life right with God. Take care of it now. Come forward as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.